We turn back this evening to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11, the text is verses 29 and 30. Let's read beginning at verse 20. Matthew 11, verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This morning we considered the call of Christ to come unto me. And we saw that that call to come meant that the heart is to genuinely repent and believe in Jesus Christ, to rest in Him. The calling was to all of us who by nature forget Christ and hold on to sin's guilt and seek without confession to labor under that guilt up the hill of our salvation, to gain God's favor. The call was to stop trying to pull that cart as a stubborn mule or ox, and come to Christ with our burden. We need to address another problem in society and in the church world this evening, a problem which arises because many evangelicals today read the first verse, verse 28, and do not read the next two verses. Many today, confessing Christians say, just come to Christ, just believe, and there is truth. There is truth to such statements. That is all we are called to do by His grace for justification. But notice that Jesus does not mean to say, don't do anything, period. He does not say sorry, confess your sins, and believe in Jesus, and I'll go and live however you want, whatever your sinful nature feels like doing today. And that's the antinomian mentality that many so-called Christians have today. Just believe. That's what they mean. But that's not what Jesus means. After commanding His people to come unto Him, He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Because that act of faith, that activity of faith, and turning from our sin to Jesus Christ will result also in the taking up of the burdens that He calls us to carry in this life. When Christ takes the burden of earning our salvation from us, He gives us a different yoke and a different burden wherein we must obey Him as our Lord. Confessing Christians everywhere not only make the erroneous assumption that there is no yoke of obedience to Christ, but secondly, there is the mistake of imagining that with repentance and faith, that coming to Christ, there will be no burdens generally, meaning there will be no trials in life. Life will be a breeze, so to speak. Life will be easy. Business, marriage, family, work will be smooth. But their expectations and their dreams are soon to be destroyed. For Jesus shows that there is still a yoke. Jesus here shows there is a yoke and a burden not only, but everywhere in Scripture He speaks of afflictions and even persecutions that must come upon God's people who come to Him. And it's simply not true that the Christian life is easy. Even the word easy in verse 30, we shall see, does not mean easy in the sense of without burden and without hardship. Real trials come. People of God, listen. When the child of God repents and believes and he comes to Jesus, the heart's motion of coming to Jesus has the same movement of taking up the yoke that He gives to us to carry. A commitment to obey Him and take whatever burden He in His providence gives to us. The calling this evening is essentially the same as this morning. Come unto Jesus with true faith, but now to emphasize the second half of His call, in coming and resting in Christ, expect. We must expect to take on a yoke and a burden different from the one that we tried to carry before, but yet a yoke and a burden He gives us, which is different from the one before. Consider with me taking Christ's yoke and burden. First, Christ's calling. Second, Christ's reasoning. And third, the word's effect, to sum up both this morning and this evening's word and the effect that Christ gives. First, Christ calls us to come, repent and believe. And the second part is what we consider tonight. Two commands. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And that's in the imperative, meaning it's not an option when you come and believe in Jesus. Take my yoke. Take my yoke is in the verb form so that it reveals a heart's commitment. At a certain time, a heart's commitment, a choice even, not only to believe in Jesus, but to take any burden He gives you, whether it be a burden of obedience or a burden of trial in His providence. This is not merely a verbal commitment. It is not just saying, I commit to it, though that is often helpful. But it is to say with a heart, it is to agree with the heart that any commandment that my Lord and Savior gives me, any principle, any point in His Word that I might not know in the past, but now I know because I see it before me, I will seek to do. I surrender my life to obeying Him now. I am Thy servant, Lord, bound yet free. This is the heart that comes to Christ. A heart that says not only, I will do what thou dost call me to do, but now any trial that you deem in your providence needful for me to bear, any consequences for my sin that I must endure from my learning, whatever sickness, whatever conflict, whatever emotional pain that you deem necessary, I take willingly. To sum it up, I will seek to do your will as you do with me what you will. I will seek to do your will as you do with me what you will. Coming to Christ is that submission to Him. Go back to the illustration that we considered this morning of an ox or a mule, that animal that is carrying a yoke and a heavy burden and a cart behind it, and it's trying to climb that mountain, that hill. We talked about the elements of that picture this morning. And the calling of all of us as that ox and that mule was to stop trying to pull that cart up that hill of salvation, but to come to Christ and to cast our burdens upon Him. Now picture that ox or that mule as it comes to that master, that Lord, and as that master and Lord takes that burden away from it. That ox and that mule wants to prance off free from any yoke and burden whatsoever. And perhaps that's what by nature we want to do, but we're no animal. We're not a beast. That's where the illustration breaks down. Because when Jesus Christ works in our hearts to turn to Him and cast our burdens upon Him, He works in us this submission. We are like a mule or an ox, unnatural, who having had that burden, that yoke taken off of us, we lower our heads in a willingness to take on a different yoke and a different burden which Jesus Christ puts over our heads and upon our shoulders. And to walk, not up that hill of salvation trying to earn it ourselves, but to walk on a different path, a narrow one even, as Jesus talks about. Straight and narrow, in the way of thankful service to our Lord. Are you such an one who comes to Christ with that submission to take on His yoke as His servant? You're called to that this evening. You're called to enjoy His rest, yes. You're called to enjoy His refreshment and His nourishment at His table, to feed upon Him and upon His mercy toward you and His forgiveness, and to enjoy that and to feel the refreshment that He gives to you in that. But people of God, the reason He gives to you that rest and that refreshment is so that you may now take on His yoke and serve Him. To obey His laws, His commandments, to submit to His trials. That's what true faith commits to. But wait. Wait, people of God. Our tendency is every morning to wake up and to start pulling. Yep, we got that yoke, we got that burden on us, and we're going to start pulling right away. Start driving our feet into the ground and working for the Lord. And that zeal, that earnestness is understandable. Because if we have felt that forgiveness and that salvation, we want to, but wait. Every morning, and really not just every morning, but again and again throughout the day, you and I need to make sure we have the right yoke and the right burden we're trying to pull through our life. We need to make sure. And I say that because I have to admit this myself. I slip into this tendency, this work unconsciously to take up that old yoke again, that old burden again, and try to work to gain some sort of favor with man and some sort of favor with my God. I don't just want to earn money or earn reputation or earn the thanks of people around me, but I want to earn something with God to pay Him back at the very least. I want to join in the throngs of this world and in the church world to compete and to make myself look righteous. And every day, every morning, we hear and we feel Satan hold out that old yoke again. Carry this burden. Take on this yoke. And every day, we need to make sure, people of God, we're not. We're saying no. And we're taking on the right yoke and the right burden. Our hearts have to find a right balance. And interestingly, the word yoke in the text can be translated balance. We have to feel the right yoke on our shoulders because the old yoke, think about that picture again, that old yoke sits upon us and it digs into us. It's that bone-crushing weight that pushes us into the ground and makes us realize this is impossible. Can't bear it. But the right yoke balances upon our shoulders in the right way. It distributes the weight, so to speak, upon the ox so that it's able, by the grace of the one who puts that yoke on him, to press onward. Let's find the right balance. When we talk about balance, we got to talk about two extremes that we want to make sure we don't fall into. Sometimes we fall into the extreme of what is called antinomianism. That's what we started out with. It's often a reaction to the Roman Catholic doctrine, to the Arminian doctrine. And hearts feel that since we repented and believe in Jesus Christ now, and we're saved by grace, let's go do whatever we want. We want to be that ox or that mule prancing everywhere and about, doing whatever we want. We don't want to fall to that extreme. Then at other times, maybe seeing the antinomian lifestyle that others in our circles might be living, we go to the other one. We must take on this yoke of obedience, we say. And then as we do, we feel the self-righteousness creeping up with us. Aren't we better than them? Aren't our practices, our lifestyles, and our doctrines good, better before the face of God? And we begin to take on that yoke of bondage again. Balance, people of God. We need to guard against both of these extremes, and each one of us leans to one of the two at different times in our lives. Put aside the antinomian mentality. Put aside the self-righteous ideology. And walk on the path of thanks to Christ. Now positively, we must make sure we take on the yoke of Christ. And this is how Christ helps us. He says, learn of me. That's the second imperative. Take my yoke, not any other yoke, not the old one. Take my yoke and learn of me. This is key, people of God. It's simple, but this is key to making sure we're living with that balance. Learn of Jesus. Go back to the gospel, not just today on Sunday, not just today on Sunday. Go back to the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I may have just heard your heart say, I already know it. I already know the gospel. Well, maybe you don't know it as well as you think you do. theological know-it-alls have been known to be the most ignorant of Christ. People of God, you and I need to know Jesus. Listen to Jesus' words. Learn of me. Learn of me. Why pick up your Bibles every day and read it? So that you might say, is it this? So that you might say that I did my devotions today and I'm better than those who don't? Now the whole point of doing your devotions every day, of reading the Bible, is not to get something checked off the list, but it's to learn of Jesus again, to go back to the gospel of Christ who came to save me, the chief sinner. And as familiar as that is, we need to go back to that every day and again throughout the day. Understand that you nailed him there. Understand that your sins are murderous assaults upon the Son of God. Understand that your pride and your self-righteousness that you feel in your heart every day is to say to Jesus, I don't need you. And then remember that he died for you anyway. And that he finished his work for you on the cross. Learn of him so that the yoke that you take on is a yoke of salvation given, not a yoke of salvation yet to gain. A yoke of gratitude and not a yoke of merit. A yoke of peace and not of fear. A yoke of humility and not of pride. The yoke of Christ and not of some other Lord. And then with zeal, then with real power he gives you in learning of him, you can press onward in obedience and in the bearing of the trial he gives you today. Learn of Christ, then commit yourself to coming to church. Not so that you might tell others you go twice, but because you rejoice in your Savior. Learn of Christ. Then love your wife. Then love your husband respectfully. Then show compassion to your children. Learn of Christ. Then bear patiently with sickness and ailments and conflict, submitting to his will. Learn of Christ so that as you take the yoke and the burden that he gives you each day, you are conscious that the hands that bring that yoke for you to carry are the same hands that were nailed to the cross for you, for your full salvation. That he has already earned that salvation and covered your guilt with an unchanging love. Which brings us to the reasoning. The reasoning in the middle of verse 29 that Jesus gives for coming and taking this yoke of submission to the Lord. 4 gives the reason. Why repent? Why believe? Why commit to obeying and submitting to his will? For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. To sum up Jesus' reasoning, Jesus is saying, you should come to me and take my yoke because of my character, because of who I am, because of my gentle, kind character. That's why. Yes, Jesus says persuasively and powerfully, When you come to me in faith, yes, you're committing to serving me as the Lord and you as my slave. Yes, that's true. But you see, people of God, I am not a cruel slave or slave owner. I am not a tyrannical lord. I am not like your old master, Satan. My goal is not to eke out of you all the energy that you have without caring for you, soul and body. My heart is not a proud, selfish, glory-seeking heart. My yoke is not to force upon you something impossible. I am not doing this. I'm not giving you a burden to bear and obedience to walk in so that I can feel powerful while pressing you into the dirt. That's not my goal. I'm not a dictator, sort of lord, like fathers and husbands may be today. I'm not a manipulator of you and your emotions. I'm not harsh in my actions and in my demeanor. I am not a Muhammad pressing you onward with fear. That's not who I am. And you may not impute your experiences with any cruel lord, father, husband, or man, or woman in this life upon Jesus, upon me. Because I am meek and lowly. Meek means gentle. Not seeking to beat. Not seeking to compete for control and power and reputation. I'm mild, Jesus says. Is that not what I've shown in my ministry? In His Word, He says. Is that not what characterized Christ's life? If you don't know that, you need to go back to that command, learn of me. Do that, people of God. Go read the Gospels again and look. Study the Gospels, familiar as they are to you, and look for where Jesus shows His meekness or gentleness. Just stand in awe of His gentleness. He was always gentle and gracious, using His authority not for self-promotion, but always in love for His people. Even when He had to be sharp, as He is in the chapter that we read to Bethsaida and Chorazin, that firmness and that sharpness was always in love for His people, to change them, to turn them. I'm meek, I'm gentle, He says. I have been in my ministry through my life. That's what I did when I healed. That's what I did when I suffered. That's what I did when I died. It was all in meekness. Do you think that I've changed today? No. Jesus says, I am the I am that I am. That's what my name means. Jehovah Savior. I was meek. I am meek. And I always will be meek or gentle. Even in my lordship over you. Come unto me, therefore. Take my yoke that I lay upon you in my gentleness. He is so meek, people of God. So gentle. I believe that He's more meek and gentle upon you and me than we are upon ourselves even. Meek and lowly. Literally, lowly means low to the ground. I am Lord, He says, who meets you low to the ground. And that's the idea of humility again, but think of that illustration. You as the ox or the mule, pounding yourself into the ground, you're low. Perhaps you haven't repented for so long, You've been depending on yourself for so long, and you're a beast low to the ground. And when he says, come, come unto me and take my yoke, you feel like you've been too much of a fool for too long. Impenitent for too long. There's no way he's going to take me now. Too far gone. I have to correct a few things in my life first before I present myself before him. I'm so low, I don't feel like I have any strength to take that yoke that he says he's going to bring upon me, that he'll give. He says, I'm lowly. I'll meet you at ground level. I will not belittle you. I will not pound you more into the ground. I receive sinners. Sorry and low. When I give you that yoke, it will be with that gentleness and with that lowliness. Don't misunderstand, of course, Jesus is not saying he will condone your sin, though he atones for it. It doesn't mean that he'll excuse your sin, but he will assure you of his love in spite of it. He'll be patient, and will administer not only the rebukes necessary, but he will administer his grace to bear up under his yoke. That's what it means when it says easy. Easy. My yoke is easy, verse 30. The word easy, as I said, is not easy in the sense that we might want to understand it, that life will be easy. But it is easy in the sense of kindly. I administer that yoke kindly, in a careful, patient, forbearing manner. I'm given with grace. Come unto me with true, repentant, believing hearts, Jesus says. Take on this yoke because of my reasoning is this, because I give it to you in my grace, in my gentleness, in my lowliness, in my kindness. And when you take that yoke upon you, it's light. Light. And we might say, we might be offended by that. It's not light. That's not true. I've come to Christ, I've submitted to him. It's not light. It's heavy. And from our own experience, yes, it does feel heavy. Well, consider with me three reasons, or three ways to understand why it can be called light. Why can the commands that Jesus requires of us to obey, why can that be called light? And why can the trials, the hardships that we have to bear in his providence, why can that be called light? Three ways to see that as light. First, light in comparison to the old burden. Light in comparison to the old burden. The old burden we talked about this morning and reviewed tonight, that old burden of sin's guilt that presses down upon us, that old burden of trying to get rid of that guilt by doing something, trying to earn God's favor by satisfying him with our works, that burden of the fear of hell and his wrath. We don't have to bear that anymore. That was too heavy. And I'll compare that old burden to the new yoke or burden that he gives us. Every commandment now that he gives us, and they're not extra biblical, but every commandment that he gives us in his word, the Ten Commandments, the requirements of Scripture, are not only for you to obey in thanks, not to earn, but those very commandments and requirements are for you. They're for our advantage. Jesus will never command us, even if our natures rebel against it and say, how can this be for my good that I obey him in this circumstance? But Jesus will never command us, put a burden of us on us in that sense, if it's not for us and for our advantage. And the same thing with every trial. He will never make us bear anything as a punishment. To pay us back. But as a mild, meek, lowly Lord, as difficult as the burden it is, and as mysterious as the purposes for that burden are, they're for us. Secondly, not only is it light in comparison for the to the burden we used to bear, but now notice a second comparison that we need to make. Light in comparison to what you will receive. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, Paul uses the same word there, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. If we were to, as that text tells us to, put upon an imaginary scale system the weight of the burden of God's or Christ's requirements and his trials on one side, and we were to take the glory yet to come in the new heavens and in the new earth that we can't even fully imagine, and we're to put it on the other side of the scale, it clangs down. It clangs down. And we cannot even pull it back up. The eternal weight of glory is what we will receive. And 2 Corinthians 4:17 means that Christ, as he brings the burdens that we bear in this life, is using those very burdens to increase the weight of that glory he will soon give us. That's how we see that our burden is light. And thirdly, not only when we compare it to the burden of the past and the weight of glory, but our burden is light because he helps us bear it. Having put that yoke upon us, it's not as though Jesus says, now go walk that path on your own. Have at it. It's easy, so you can do it by yourself. No. He comes. You've seen those yokes, haven't you, children? Most of those yokes on oxen are borne by two. And it comes, as it were, and he bears up under the yoke with us. And not only that, he works his Holy Spirit in us so that every requirement that he gives to us as a yoke to carry and every trial that he calls us to endure through, he enables us by his power to bear up under. Therefore, people of God, knowing the gentle, lowly character of this Lord, who gives you a kindly yoke and a burden light, come and take his yoke upon you. Come is the call in the Word of God this evening as it was this morning. And that call, comes to all in a certain sense. All who hear the Word of God preached this morning and all who hear the Word of God preached tonight are very really externally called. With the language of the canons, Head 3 and 4, Article 8, Christ unfeignedly calls. Every single one who hears and understands the preaching, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. This is not Arminian. It's a real and serious call of Jesus Christ. He calls you to do what is pleasing to him. He seriously promises eternal life to all those who come. You shall find rest to your souls, he says. This is thoroughly reformed. And therefore, it is your fault and my fault if we do not come unto Christ and take his yoke and submission to him. Woe unto you, he says, Chorazin and Bethsaida. Your judgment is worse than those who have not heard before. That's the warning, but here's the main motivation of the text. Why turn to Christ? Not first of all because you're scared of hell, though that does make us turn and flee. But first, the primary reason that we turn to Christ, and anyone turns to Christ, is not out of fear of hell. First, mostly, is because Christ displays the beauty of his character. Come to me. Realize my gentleness and my love. This is not a debate about a well-meant offer. I didn't say Christ loves every single person. But he does display in his word to all who hear the character of his unchanging love and gentleness and meekness. And all are called to recognize the character of Jesus Christ. And having recognized the loving character of our Savior, to come unto him. That call comes externally to all who hear. But now here you and I stand and we say, I can't come on my own. My burden is so great, I'm not sure I can move. I'm not sure I want to take this yoke that he's going to give me and submit to his plan. And we don't want to come. We don't want to take that yoke. As loud as that minister shouts, come, really believe with sincerity in your heart. The call comes and enters your ears and it ricochets off your hard, chilled hearts. But then one day, and maybe today, I pray, in God's time, he sends his Spirit. And he takes the external call and makes it internal. He causes his Spirit to wing his word into your heart. And then irresistibly you will be drawn. Not against your will, but mysteriously, supernaturally, ineffably, as the canons say, he sweetly and powerfully bends your will. And finally, submit to him. And that bending of the will, again, is not a forcing of you to turn to him in your stubbornness. But it's a winning. It's a winning of your heart. No more will you kick against the pricks. You cannot resist him anymore. He has shown you too greatly how meek and lowly and gracious he is. And you run to the cross and surrender your life to him. I preach this evening believing with all my heart that when I preach this gospel, And when I call you to repentance and faith, though it's done in weakness, I know that my Lord and Savior, to whom I have come and whose yoke I personally bear, will work and does work powerfully in an irresistible manner that I cannot explain. But He does, and He will turn the hardest of hearts to Him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, reveal in an internal way the gracious, meek, lowly, kind Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the hearts of Thy people. Make us attracted to His beauty. Make us wonder at His love. Make us run into His embrace, to cling to Him with faith, to surrender our life more than before, submitting every part of it to Him, the gracious Lord. And these things we pray in Jesus' name, amen.